Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Anna Bertanes, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome everyone to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today. So sit back and relax and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. In today's episode, we have two great guests here to introduce. It's really full women power, I could say here, and I'm really honored to have both here. It is Barbara Lucy Carvalho here, where I have to announce something, what I will do later today. And I have Anna-Marie Melster here from Artport Making Waves, where I'm very honored to be her ambassador. She is somebody who is making sure that our ocean is somebody we not only understand, but we feel, we inspire, we motivate with this to make a world worth living in. So very grateful to have both here. But first, let's kick things off with a song.
Foi em uma quarta-feira, saí pra te procurar. Andei a cidade inteira, mas cadê você? Cadê você? A cidade é grande, as pessoas muitas, e eu por aí sem te encontrar. Vou pedir a Oxalá, Oxalá quem guia, Oxalá quem te mandou. Tanta volta pra nenhuma resposta, 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 tanta volta pra nenhuma resposta. Nenhuma resposta, mas um punhado de folhas sagradas pra me curar, pra me afastar de todo mal. Oh, oh, oh. Para raio, bete branca, aça peixe, abre caminho, bate o li. Para raio, bete branca, aça peixe, abre caminho. Bate-lhe, foi em uma quarta-feira, saí pra te procurar. Andei a cidade inteira, mas cadê você? Cadê você? A cidade é grande, as pessoas muitas, e eu por aí sem te encontrar. Vou pedir a Oxalá, Oxalá quem guia, epa babá, Oxalá quem te mandou. Tanta volta pra nenhuma resposta, 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 tanta volta pra nenhuma resposta. Nenhuma resposta, mas um punhado de folhas sagradas pra me curar, pra me afastar de todo mal. Para raio, bete branca, aça peixe, abre caminho.
What happens when a body becomes a voice, when movement becomes a language, and when theater becomes not entertainment, but a place where society can target itself? Welcome, Barbara.
Hi, welcome. Thank you so much, Annabelle, for the invitation. I'm so glad to be here.
Yes, also really glad to have you here. Barbara Dulce Carvalho creates really exactly these moments I just described. She transforms stages, streets, and communities into spaces of connection, courage, and empowerment. Her art asks powerful questions about identity, belonging, gender, and the possibility of creating a more inclusive world. And diversity. It's not just a word for her. Diversity is that what she lives beyond borders, beyond narrow thinking, and beyond boxes. She really lives this, for example, at the Summer Festival in Frankfurt, where I think it's really worthwhile to going there, and where water comes also plays also a big role, where these two great women we have here today in the show come together from the idea. And Barbara reminds us that every person carries a story, and everybody carries knowledge, and every coming together creates so much power we can't count. So welcome here, Barbara, in the show. And I would like to start with a question which we normally ask everybody, because this show is about empowerment. What does sustainable empowerment mean to you personally? And how do you love sustainability to others, to environment, through your work or of your private life?
So I think I will start also with the song because the song I decided to share with you is Banho de Folha from Luedi Luna. Let's also talk a lot about my perspective and also from the history from where I come from Salvador da Bahia in Brazil. Banho de Folha means that to have a bath with leaves and to connect yourself with nature and to heal yourself from trauma and from a violence that Afro-diasporic people are facing until now, from all kind of levels, from racism, but also from social discrimination. So the way to heal yourself, the way to connect with yourself is always back to the nature, is always be there from where you come from. And I mean, sustainability is this. When I talk about empowerment, I'm talking about always in my work, but also in my projects, because I'm an artist, but also artist director of the International Women Theatre Festival, curator for the International Sommerwerft, that is a shipyard festival that we have here in Frankfurt. And I'm also doing social culture projects with children in Brazil in coastal communities. And there we always do the same, that we come together first. We think about where we all come from, even though we are working with exchanging between European artists and Brazilian artists, and we celebrate and we come back to our power through the connection with the nature, connection with the environment. In my case, I'm also coming from the coast, from Salvador da Bahia, from the sea. So the connection to ocean as well was always, giving to me the sense of, being self-realized, being on my power, to discover my potential through the connection.
That's really wonderful. It is really interesting because, I mean, when I put the show together, I thought that we really have some women power together, but that also water plays such a big role. Also, I mean, I think that when I was 7, I started my advocacy career as for saving water, but also for children rights against traumata and for giving everybody a voice and also every piece, every element of the world of us, also the water, also the plants, also every small little animal. We as human, we are often thinking that we are better or above, or we are allowed to decide. We aren't. We are all a part of this ecosystem, and we are like a puzzle. We are just a puzzle piece, and I think it's so important to understand this and understand our role. And as you said, water is a huge element which shows us a lot about us, about what's possible, and that you bring this element also in the case of or in the topic of diversity here to the city, which is often well known from outside for money, for being more cold than empathy and having empathy, for being more male than female. I think this is a really this is a great chance to give a spirit here and give a contradiction to that what's currently here. What are the three health habits or life hacks that help you stay energized, balanced, and truly well physically or mentally? Thinking that, for example, with your job also in Brazil, with the kids, I mean, it sounds so nice, doing something with kids, but I think you and me, we know that the reality looks often different. You need to have a big heart, but you need to have also, yeah, a kind of understanding. How do you deal with the stories you're listening to, which are not always nice, which are not always the stories you want to hear, and where your ability to save, to heal is limited?
So, well, what the first thing that I have learned in this work, I'm also 17 years living out of Brazil, like living on tour with my theater group. I'm also part of a collective that's called Antagon, and I'm in Europe, but also in Latin America, in some countries in Africa as well, doing other workshops and projects. And the first thing that I have learned with my network of female artists that called the Magdalena Project, it was first to how to say, to take the power of vulnerability and my humanity always in consideration, to first of all think, okay, I don't have to be strong all the time. I don't have to perform all the time, excellence. Yeah, I just need to stay present and to stay there to do everything I need. And first of all, to be who I am. And this really is for me a lot of depression of functioning and being good. So this for me is the first background that I have wherever I go, if it's in front of the stage or to a project. Is everything all right? I always assume that things are going well. So I think the first attitude is for me matter a lot. And for the second thing that is also different when we would do project in South America and Brazil, and I'm working here because they're of course doing the social inequality. We have other challenges that we have here in Europe, this kind of safe space that was created, that's also based in what happens in the past during colonization and how societies develop different ways and create privilege to more people than others. And when I work with them, especially now because you address the children in Brazil, for me, I always search for the hope. And also I search for what make the life how to say more interesting in terms of I try to create space in which they feel comfortable to be who they are. I think it's also what I'm doing with my artistic work. I'm searching always for space that people, this is also my second consideration of empowerment, can be authentic, if I can use this word, not putting mask or not doing something to say to fulfill expectations of other people or to try to fit or to adapt to circumstances that they are not there. So I'm always searching for a space in which they can they just be what they are. And I think this kind of space is in our environments, they are missing a lot. And it's also the process of empowering. You say, okay, let's try it all to create a space in which we can open up, but at the same time, we are all responsible for holding a safer space in which we open up, but also we understand the border of each other and the diversity of experience, and we respect each other. And this is one thing, like when we speak about doing projects in a room with children. But for example, here in Europe with our festival on open space, public space, there is like thousands of people coming. How will you do this? And it's also about for me to be also connected with the power that I bring from my culture, that is somehow the trust and spirituality and somehow and bring a kind of optimism and say we are going to manage. For example, when we have a show that 2,000 people are coming to see a performance and we have like an awareness team in our festival, somehow is always the thing, everything will be the question, everything will be all right, or what we should do. And then finally I lose all of these questions and concerns and I just concentrate on what we need to do and everything happens and we are doing like events and they are so peaceful. And they are bringing so many people with different backgrounds together in public space. It's especially people that are suffering, how to say, experience of racism or discrimination. They come to our festival and they feel good, they feel safe, because finally we build a space, an atmosphere in which we invite the audience to take care of each other, to be there. And I think this is also the third thing of empowerment, a collective process in which there is no savior or heroes, but we all take responsibility to make it happen.
That sounds really a big engagement also from your heart. So can you share a life experience that shaped you, who you are today, a moment you will never forget, and why it changed you?
Oh my God, I wasn't prepared for this question. I think there were so many moments, but I think to talk about the big change of my life, it was 70 years ago when I decided to leave my country and I went to a plane alone without speaking German or English. Yeah, I
Wow.
was 21, and that was a big jump into the unknowing, and I have nothing like. In terms of it will work, it was just like the courage of say I want to try, and it will come something out of this without expectation. I was studying Brazil theater pedagogy, and I was in the middle of my study. Everything was planned, but suddenly it was the opportunity to come to Germany and to start something new. And this for me it was a big change because it was about taking the risk to try something. And now I'm totally convinced about that I did the right decision and that I trust my intuition, and I develop a totally new path here in Europe. And also I start to have more friendships and connection in kind of international level, from personal until professional through in projects. And everything was coming with the decision of, okay, I want to take the risk and start something new in my life. And I think this shaped my destiny, I have to say, my path in this world.
Wow. Were you always somebody, Barbara, who was like this risk taker and listening to your intuition?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's coming also from my education with my parents. I also coming from a work family. I was living with my mom and my family, that was my grandmother and my aunts, all in one room, like South American style. And there was always about, we are all together. And somehow things were not going well in the planning. It was many challenges, but especially my grandmother always teach me that, the most important thing is to keep positive and think there is a God or there is a power of life that's taking care of me, and I should not be afraid. Just go and to life, and things will come together. And I think this is what I bring into my work, this basic feeling that we were going to manage, and we are here to exist in our full potential. I think it's coming from my family and from my culture, from also the Afro diaspora experience, Afro indigenous resilience, in terms of we just need to go and trust and life.
That's a great gift, Barbara. And it means, of course, also being very brave compared to many others, which are saying lifelong that they could do, that they could take a plane, that they could change themselves, that they could change the world, but nothing happens. Everything just happens in their head. So there are many, many further questions in my head, which I would like to address. So stay tuned after the commercial break of approximately 2 minutes. We will continue our conversation.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, Barbara, we just talked about this experience 17 years ago, right? Where you took a plane without speaking any word of English and German. Well, this is really, really brave, I'd say. And I love this that you're doing this, that you said you listen to your intuition. Because sometimes I think that a lot of people in today's world lost their intuition. So they listen to what they think media expects from them, or other people expect from them, or family expects from them, or society expects from them. And it makes it hard for them to listen, to figure out which voice really counts. And under all these voices, they often forget that there's one voice which counts at first, and this is our voice. Our voice, which is the voice of healing, the voice of diversity, the voice of resilience, and of many more. Your work and your voice connects theater, movement, identity, and empowerment. When did you first realize that art could become a tool also for social transformation?
I think it was my life, to be honest. I, like I said before, I come from a work family, and art was not something that was offered to me in the context of living the periphery of Salvador, my town. So I discover a world in which I can use my imagination to change my personal story. And first of all, I started to do theater when I was the first workshops, 14, so more than 20 years almost. 20, more than 25 years that I discovered the world of theater and creativity and imagination, in which I can reshape things and change things. And the decision was also hard to say, okay, I'm going to leave from that. How I'm going to finance myself and build up a life perspective. But then I realized inside of the theater graduation, of theater and pedagogy, that's more than this, is about creating a vision of work with other people. And in the process of doing this, was for me important to think about, okay, what kind of heritage I want to leave for other generations and for the world. And I start to do workshops out of institutions. For me, it was always interesting to discover other fields, not like schools, universities, but I was going, for example, to occupation camps in Brazil and doing work a lot in NGO associations, public space, what we call also scenes that are not in the mainstream, but other way around, they are marginalized. And now there I just discover that I have so much to learn about how this power of creativity is there in the life of the people that challenge for me also in that moment as a student, the path of how should I work with theater that function, but to shape and say how they are teaching me to be creative, for example, how to improvise every day and how they are going to solve their problems. And I work also a lot with improvisation and with movements and storytelling and narratives that are coming from the people that I'm working with. So I'm not coming with this my idea of bringing a ready dramaturgy. So I'm also seeing myself that I'm learning always. Doesn't matter which audience I have, if it's from the theater play that I'm performing, or a workshop, or a course that I'm doing like through a month, And for me, it was important to see that the so-called social change is really like something that is happening inside of your body, first of all, when you are open to start to speak and share some things that you, first of all, think it's your personal story or problem, but finally in the room, in the space in which other people are there, becoming a, something that's really shared experience. And this was for me when I realized, wow, this is really strong, because this gives to people the awareness that many of the problems that they think that they have in their personal life, when they see like a theater game or choreography, and after we make a feedback round and then people start to speak about how they felt or how they see things, that they think that this, their own perspective finally become a open field of questioning and reflecting. And then I say, okay, yeah, here we are building a new way and of understanding and doing social relations, and start like very, very small, and bring into from this personal topics, and then after unfold into, okay, really like social questions and the wishes of, for example, especially in my workshop, I work with anti-racism dance practice. And that was also a moment of say, okay, some participants always saw, I when I was a child, I thought that it was something wrong with my body. And then after, by listening to the experience of the other, no, it's not about our my body or the way how I look, if my nose too big, my hair is curly, but it's about the whole system that was built, taking the one race as inferior than another race in this term. And this bring also a kind of common release and common healing process, and say, okay, there's nothing wrong with me. There is something that comes before even my existence. It's this colonial heritage. And this is a process that for me, I'm searching for, and I'm working with artistic or educational projects, this common understanding, this common feeling of, yeah, the things are bigger than what we think. And finally, what is my personal struggles actually is part of a construction of, yeah, what we call the so-called white supremacy that keep on power about other cultures. Say like this.
Your work binds so much what is not only relevant at nowadays time, mm-hmm. but what is really essential to be able that we understand what we need to master in the next part of the future. From my point of view, it is exactly the essential work you are doing, which is a groundwork with everything what we need for mastering the future. Because I mean, a lot of people still think that art is something like cherry on the cake, and is something which you can do when there is enough money, and which is not important. What you are describing is a lived art. It is an art which goes through your body, an art which is combining people, making one voice, understanding the trauma to her, or something which is binding also so a society, as some trauma to already gone through the whole society or a whole culture. How can organizations and leaders understand and create environments really concretely? And this is unfortunately my last question for today, where people feel safe to express themselves authentically. And if you think this is a summer word, then let's go with it. You can take also this as an example.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm an independent artist, and I don't know if I can offer a solution for common, like mainstream organizations, institutions. But one thing that I can really share that helped me to shape my practice and my project was really the knowledge coming from Black feminism, intersectional feminism, intersectional in the terms of concerning that people coming from different standing points. And always when I work with the project, that I need to consider who speaks and from which position, which perspective. They are speaking for or want to speak for others. And then try to create a space that bring I mean, what we understand as a diversity into the discourse, but also a space that, because for me, diversity is bringing a lot of power into process, because and also a complex experience is just easier to universalize and hegemonize things than take it the conflicts and the struggles that are coming when you have diverse and sometimes controversial perspectives together. These demand more work, and we want to be comfortable as humans. So is the challenge how you can take the diversity really serious as a way to empower your projects and your organizations, and think, it's not only about bring representation to the game, but really consider this as a way to grow and to develop other perspective. And with the SOMAVEF, it's really like this. There is no, for me, no other diverse space than the public space there. I mean, of course, we are just around the river, and I mean, beside the river. And the idea is really that we create an open, free space. This festival exists now since 25 years. We are going to do the celebration, and we invite you, Annabelle, to be there also to speak of one in front of one performance, for example. And what we are trying also this year, especially, we are celebrating with the Blue Lab, is the project that wants to put ocean literacy also in focus, because we are always there talking about water and river. But this year, we want really to invite people from other fields like science and education to be there, and also to do something together with us, artists and culture makers. And for me, the public space is the space in which we can try to reshape different experience among people. It's also a space in which, especially me as an Afro-diasporic woman, face a lot of challenges. And it's exactly because of that, it's important to be present and to be with our bodies, and to be aware of the other bodies that are there with us, that we can finally together have a different experience, an experience together that's also creating a kind of joy, because the festival is also about this, like to acknowledge and to acknowledge the diversity of the experience, because coming different people to the festival, like from the banker beside, because we are the shadow of the European Central Bank, until, I don't know, a very alternative person, or children, people with migration background, Germans. And the idea is that we are there, and we allowed each other to exist, and we create a space, and we share. And it's so beautiful to see that it's working. And we have, in 17 days of festival, almost 120,000 people coming.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much, Barbara.
Thank
It
you.
was such a pleasure having you. I think we could talk for ages more. So you might have to book your once again in for today. It is none. I say thank you. Thank you for being here. And we're seeing each other very soon. And maybe if you want me to spread the word for the event, send me also something further, which we can send and hear also to the listeners of the radio show. And that makes me bringing me to the next woman, Anne-Marie Melster. Thank you, Anne-Marie, to being here. And thank you for just not being here alone, but being here also as the founder of a very important organization, which is Artport Making Waves. What if art could help humanity imagine a better future? What if creativity could become a force for climate action? Anna-Marie Metzger has dedicated her career to answering these questions. As a curator and culture strategist, she connects artists, scientists, and communities to transform the climate conversation from fear into imagination, from information to inspiration. Her work shows that protecting our planet is not only a scientific challenge, it is also a cultural challenge. Of course, before societies change their actions, they must first change their stories. Thank you and welcome.
Thank you very much for this new biography, which I would like you to share with me. It's beautiful. Thank you so much. Sometimes other people can put into sentences my life or your life much better than yourself. So thank you very much, and good morning. And it is really an honor for me to be here. Thank you, Annabelle.
Thank you, Anna Maria. I mean, I imagine we had different situations where we were together, and it always, I think what binds the two of us is it's many, but it is first and almost this what we do is something we do by heart, and we do with a lot of power, and we don't know, we don't need the inspiration from outside, or we don't need to have the generator from outside. We have this all in us, because I think we both burn until we have managed that we are living in a world worth living in, and there's a lot to do. And I'm very honored to be your ambassador. And when I always think about this, I always think I could do better, as this topic is so important. And starting with also these three questions I like to ask. I mean, I think asking you what does sustainable empowerment mean to you personally, I think we could fill the whole show. And how do you live sustainability? How do you live in a sustainable, healthy way to others and to environment through your work and life? I think, you could also say with one word, it's everything, right?
Yes, and sustainability is such a wide word. We talk about ecological sustainability, but sustainability is also time-wise sustainability. So you can maybe decide you want to live in a sustainable, ecologically sustainable way, but then you have to decide to do that forever, not only for now, because it's fashionable right now, but if you want to live a sustainable life, you have to do it also not only intuitively, but also very consciously. How does the sustainable life for you personally really look like? I moved to the south of France. I'm in between Germany and the south of France, and I'm able to live a real sustainable life here when I'm not traveling. So really down to earth. My CO2 footprint is so low that even the travels don't push it up so much. I eat only organic food here from the region. So I go to a local farmer and I buy directly from him. I try to avoid supermarkets, etc. So there are many decisions which you can take if you are free from specific restrictions. If you live in a big city, if you are traveling constantly, if you have a stressful family life, a stressful professional life, it's more challenging to decide for a sustainable living. But we can always take this very conscious decision. And the second part of the question, can you repeat it again? Because I think,
How do you live sustainability to others or to environment through your work and to your life?
Well, this is one really important aspect in my life. I cannot preach and be a wrong example or bad example. What we are doing with our reports, sometimes, of course, we get this report, but you are preaching. I said, no, I'm not preaching. We try to live an example. So we always try to be best practice examples. And I always prefer to work with best practice examples. I can invite a super famous person, but if this super famous person is not a best practice example, but does things in the wrong way, we cannot work with those people. So I always try to be humble, I try. Sometimes, of course, I'm not, because we all have our egos, but humble and really give people examples of how they can approach a sustainable life. And it's every tiny decision we take every day. It is, oh, I feel like I want to eat something sweet. Okay, prepare your own chocolate pudding, chocolate pudding at home. You don't need to go to the supermarket and buy the big chocolate chunks wrapped in plastic, produced with artificial flavors, produced overseas, shipped to Germany or wherever you are in the world. You can make your life easier, you can make your life healthier, and you can make your life much more attractive. You know how it feels to eat, if you feel for something sweet, your own chocolate, whatever pudding. It's so much nicer than opening something wrapped in plastic. This is like a small
Yeah,
example.
you're absolutely right. And I think we sometimes lost the secret of doing something on our own and this exclusivity, and think that just opening a plastic box Eating something which is pre-arranged for us is better, which is really weird. And yes, we have to go back for that. So while you are telling me these, and there came already some further questions I'd like to address to you. So after a con small commercial break of 2 minutes, we see each other back again. So please stay tuned.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, Anna Marie, we just talked about how you can really live in an environmental friendly way just in your daily life. And I know, we know each other a bit better, I would say. There's a lot of space. And I hope we can fill this during the next future much more. You're a very deep soul, and your job, you're not taking a job as a job. Your job is much, much more for you. And being in this field of talking about one water, about one ocean, about how important it is to save water, to save the health of the ocean for the health of the people worldwide, I think it's fulfilling in the one way, but on the other hand, it could be really, really demanding. It could be really hard, knowing that there's a lot of people, politicians, other people with power, are really ignorant to that, are really telling in media not the truth, but other stories, making the people to believe that it's not that important to follow these rules of making your own potting, save water, don't use so much plastic. What are the three health habits or life hacks that help you stay energized, balanced, and really truly well, which I can imagine it's sometimes hard, sometimes harder?
Yes, of course, like you said, it is stressful. It's a lot of work, obviously, because we do everything with our projects, the concepts, fundraising, then we have to implement, etc. Then working with a lot of diverse people is very stressful. But what is most stressful, like you mentioned, is the frustration to see that everybody knows what's going on, specifically the powerful people in the big companies, but also in the governments. And nobody's really doing anything because everything is focused on to the economy. Everything is focused on the capitalistic way of thinking, which I understand, obviously, that's our history, etc. And this is so frustrating when you see that, when you read that, when you feel that during the big conferences. We have observer status on behalf of UNFCCC for the climate change conferences. And you go there and you think, man, you should know better, but you are doing the opposite. Of course, staying calm, working within the field, you're working in a peaceful way, like Barbara said as well. But I have like specific sources of energy, which is obviously what everybody is doing, almost everybody meditating and yoga. But my most important source is nature. I have the luxury to live surrounded by nature, surrounded by forests here, and like about an hour to drive to the sea, to the Mediterranean Sea. So I go every morning. I wake up every morning very early, also in winter. I go to the forest. I do my power walking. I do my exercises. I do my breathing exercises, also my gratitude exercises. So I'm grateful for what I have, for who I am, because some things are given to us. You can build up a lot of things. You can train, you can educate yourself, you can study, you can choose a specific career, but some things are really given to you. Where you were born, if you are a male or a female, if you have a certain talent. I have a certain talent for languages, so I speak a lot of languages. This is something which was given to me and which I celebrated throughout my life. And if you surround yourself with nature, I just came back from northern Germany, from the island of Rügen and Stralsund, and we did a workshop there with young children. Well, they are still children. They were in between 11 and 16 years old in a small school in the middle of the island. And I tried to go swimming every morning, every afternoon after the workshop in the Baltic Sea. And it was windy. It was like huge waves. This is how I grew up. We went a lot to to some islands in the north, in the North Sea when we were children, when we were kids. And this gives you so much energy. You cannot imagine. Some people don't like the ocean or don't like to swim in the sea. They prefer swimming pools because they can see what is happening underwater. But I always recommend go and have a swim wherever you are. And it doesn't matter if the water is cold or warm. Just have a swim and then you reconnect to Mother Earth, which is so important because we all lose this connection to Mother Earth. This is why we are taking the wrong decisions all the time.
You're absolutely right. Remembering the last times where I took really bad decisions was exactly when I was not grounded with my feet to grounded with my feet, really with barefoot, where I was not grounded in the nature and where I was just running around, don't feeling myself anymore. Totally wrong decisions, really bad. And you're absolutely right. I mean, this is a good tip. And it's interesting that you have to name it tip, isn't it? I mean, we are belonging to this nature. We are part of this nature. And we so often explore us as being somebody different, standing above it, putting forests down because we think that we can decide how it should be, forgetting that we are part of the whole. I mean, I'm sure, and what you described with these waves, I could feel it really. Growing up partly in my life at the North Coast, and yes, that made me being happy, being exactly there where you could grab your barefoot in the ground, where you had the waves around, where you had the sound of the doves around you and this salt in your nose. This is life, right? And I wish that a lot of people can feel, hear, really experiences which are taking the wrong decision at a very high level, making decisions which are touching us, which are touching us in the wrong way currently. Can you share a life experience that shaped who you are today? I'm sure there are many, but maybe one moment you will never forget and why it changed you.
Well, you know my career and you know that I started Artport 20 years ago. And before those Artport years, I had another career. So I was working in big companies and because I'm not that young anymore, I was working in big companies. And then I had my art advisory company in Hamburg. And there were several things. I was working with really impactful and really wealthy people. And I had this moment where I said, Emery, you are not going into the right direction, but what is your direction? I was feeling so unhappy. I said, something is totally going wrong. I was successful. I was making a lot of money. You know, this is all you want when you're in your early 30s, because this is what is given by society and by your parents. I was proud of what I was doing. I was my own boss. And I had this freedom of decision. But I was completely unhappy. I said, no, I'm at the wrong spot. So what do I do? You know, stepping out of a privileged situation is so much more difficult than stepping out of a situation where you are suffering from, you know, a lack of something, and you say, oh, no, I have to go somewhere else to, I don't know, to have a job or money. And but the moment of sufferance was so big mentally and but also physically, because everything was hurting. I said, okay, I'm going to close my art advisory. I'm going to hand over my artist I was working with to other people. I pack my bags and I go to Spain and I breathe for 6 months. I take a sabbatical of 6 months, and then I might go to New York to work with the UN. That was my big dream. So I moved with my car and my dog and my stuff. I rented my apartment in Hamburg and drove down to Spain. Luckily enough, my parents were living there, so I had like a place to be for a certain amount of time. And then I fell in love with the city of Valencia. So I stayed in Spain. I never even moved properly to New York. So I stayed in Valencia and I talked with a friend and colleague of mine. She is based in New York. She's Swiss. And I said, you know what? Now I know what I want. I don't want to do art advisory. I don't want to be like a normal art curator. I want to bring together art, science and informal education dedicated to climate action and ocean action. At that time, 20 something years ago, nobody was talking about this. It was like a riddle when I was talking like this. Nobody understood what I wanted to do. I said, I want to contribute to societal change through what I can do, through the network I have, the worldwide network, through working with artists, but scientists at the same time, to bring to have a joint venture, you know, to join forces between those two sections and create something nice in the heads of people. And we were not dedicated to young people, to school children at the beginning, but to everybody. Now we are working with everybody, but we are focused onto schools. And this was for me such a breakthrough. Even though I had no idea how this could work. Well, we set up Artport Making Waves until finding the name and the logo and all of this. We started with production of short artistic videos. But I felt so good. I was not making money for 4 years. I had to have other jobs in Valencia. I was running a language school, for example. I was working for other clients in Germany. But it was giving me such a satisfaction. But this came out of a moment of total frustration, but also pain.
Do you think sometimes it needs this pain to understand and to be open for new things?
I think so. I think pain is a very good teacher, because if you don't feel pain, you don't feel the need to change something in your life or in the life of your family. But when you feel pain, it can be physical pain, it can be psychological, mental pain, then you are pushed to change something. And I think people should be grateful if they are able to feel pain, because there are some people who have specific syndromes who are not able to feel pain, not their own pain and not the pain they are causing to other people. So use pain as a vehicle.
And do you think, I mean, your work with We Are Ocean, with Artport Making Waves, connects art with literacy, with ocean literacy, and with science. Why do we need these emotional connections with nature? And why, and is there something concrete how we can get this back? Because a lot of people lost it, and therefore we understand why they feel so neutral or even negative sometimes about water, about ocean, about nature at all.
Well, I always say to the children or the teenagers we are working with, because what we are doing in the workshops, it's not only about ocean literacy, it's not only about marine biology and arts. It's also, you know, life lessons. I always tell the young people, if you're lost in life, it doesn't matter. Look out for what you really love, what you really enjoy. And if it is right now that you don't want to do your homework at home, but you want to ride your bike, or you want to go for a swim, or to run, or just to do something outside, do it. And then you go back to your homework and you will feel this satisfaction. So it's always reconnecting to your inner self. And even children can do that. Sometimes they come after the workshop, and they say, oh, now I know what you mean when you're talking about intuition. So, and even if you're not a privileged person who can say, oh, my parents have money, they can send me to university, I can study whatever I want, or I can do whatever I want, I don't even need to work. I don't talk about those people. I talk about us normal people who grew up in a normal environment. Barbara said she came from a worker family. I come from a normal family. Well, I make my own money all the time, but of course I was in a safe surrounding. But also when you don't have a privileged situation, you can decide for yourself. And this is what we are doing with We Are Ocean as well. We Are Ocean is bringing together the arts and the sciences and going to educational institutions, but also to conferences. And the arts opens the mind of the people. We start with the scientific part always. So the kids learn about marine biology. And okay, they get some content, but then the transformation, the transfer of this knowledge, of this hard knowledge, into something which can guide them throughout their lives is the art part, where they put hands on, where they participate in the creation of something, where they are proud of their result at the end, and also the fishbowl discussions, which we always create, where they have to talk in front of the audience, which empowers them. That's the moment where they really feel empowered, because this is youth empowerment. Well, we should use another word, maybe. Empowerment is maybe not the best word anymore today. But this is the moment where they really feel like they have this self-conscience and this self-security. So, yeah, this is why we are combining those fields.
Thank you so much, Anne-Marie. Unfortunately, our talk comes to an end, and we definitely should have a second one, I guess. One very, very, very small answer, please, on one question. What gives you optimism when you look at the future of our planet?
Nature is resilient.
Thank you. Thank you. I know we could have spoken much, much longer. I think we could fill a day radio show. And yes, if you think that you want to do a second part, please reserve one spot, because I think we learned today a lot about nature, about ocean, about why diversity is so important and why art is so important, and why it's not only one thing which is important, but which is diversity and bringing this together. So thank you very much for your voice. And that wraps up our episode of We Empower, the weekly radio show dedicated to celebrating the strength, the resilience, and limitless potential of us, of human and humanity around the globe. Join us again next week as we continue on this empowering journey, sharing real stories. Your presence and engagement means the world to us, and we appreciate you taking the time to tune in. Remember, this time is a gift for you to discover new inspiration, embrace exciting insights, and find the motivation to live life to the fullest. Don't hesitate to get involved. Your voice is valued, and together we can make a difference. Thank you for being part of our community. And until next time, keep shining and empowering others. Together, we rise.